WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Drenching rain in Jamaica as they brace for a monster Category 5 Hurricane Melissa tomorrow. CBS's Jason Allen is in the capital of Kingston.
There is a lot of concern about flooding into some of the poorer neighborhoods. And in those places, there's really no preparation. There's no protection.
A close call for people in the Mississippi Gulf towns of Goshen and Pascagoula when tornadoes blew through.
Terrified, but I have my friends' family here. Praise the Lord.
Thanking God that we wasn't here. That's what I'm going to say. I'm thankful.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent reporting the U.S. and China are close to a trade deal ahead of President Trump's meeting with Xi Jinping in Seoul this week. CBS's Nancy Cordes.
Terrified.
Here's Nancy.
One thing that we do know is that Bessent says that the Chinese have now signed off on a deal.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says he will appeal the Trump administration's denial of the state's request for $26.5 million of assistance following severe weather in August. According to a press release, Governor Evers received a letter from FEMA stating that while the impact of the severe weather was significant, the agency had determined that funding through the public assistance program was not warranted. Governor Evers says the denial of federal assistance delays recovery efforts and sends a message to Wisconsin's communities that they are on their own. State lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to crack down on excessive speeding on Wisconsin's roadways. The proposed bill would allow judges to force individuals with multiple excessive speeding violations to install a speed limiter device, which uses GPS data to track the speed of the vehicle compared to area speed limits. If the vehicle is driving too fast, the speed limiter would gradually slow it down until it reaches the posted speed limit. The speed limiter program would work similarly to the interlock device program currently in place. Stepping Stones of Dunn County is seeking community support as they prepare to share Thanksgiving meals with area residents in need. Organization officials say they're seeking food donations over the next few weeks, including whole turkeys, mashed potatoes, and other Thanksgiving staples. They're hoping to bring in enough donations to provide over 600 area households with a good Thanksgiving meal this year. Residents interested in helping out can drop their donations off at the organization's main building on Stout Road in Menominee. A small fire forced University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire students to evacuate a campus building on Thursday morning. According to the Eau Claire Fire Department, crews responded to Schneider Hall on Thursday at around 9:40 a.m., arriving to find smoke throughout the building. The building was fully evacuated and crews eventually extinguished the fire in an electrical transformer room. Two people were rescued from an elevator that had gotten stuck, but authorities say nobody was reported injured and the cause of the fire remains under investigation. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers shut down the Steelers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Pittsburgh, where the Packers beat the Steelers 35-25. Green Bay fell behind 16-7 at the half. Quarterback Jordan Love.
You know, when we came in the locker room at halftime, you know, the message was that we just weren't finishing. We weren't executing our plays and we weren't locked in on doing the everybody's 111. So, you know, there's plays being made and I think we just weren't executing those and we weren't able to stay on the field. So, you know, I think the first half went by really fast for us as an offense. We had one scoring drive. And so I think the message was just do your job, lock in, and execute.
At one point, Love had completed 20 consecutive passes. Aaron Rodgers on why the Steelers' offense stalled in the second half.
Yeah, we had too many penalties, too many negative yardage plays, and then I wasn't accurate enough on third down, and we weren't creating enough space. But we'll look at the film, and you know, we'll get better, and we got a good team coming in next week.
NBA, the Bucks with a loss on the road to the Cavaliers, 118-113, despite Giannis with 40 points. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered rain, especially after midnight, are low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, rain likely with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know, that you can be vulnerable and powerful, that taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Dustin Mack from Appleton's History Museum at the Castle. We talk Wisconsin Dells ghost boat tours, and musician Strategic joins me in studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Gavin Butenoff, coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show, Matt Randolph, also known as Mr. Global. Mondays with Mr. Global. He is going to be back after the 9:30 news. Donald Trump, of course, promised that energy prices would be cut by half.
Cut in half.
Everything is going to be great.
Everything's wonderful.
Because energy is going to be so cheap.
They'll be giving gas away to people. Like, here's your free gas. It's so cheap. Here's your free energy. It's so cheap.
That doesn't seem to be the case right now. Drill baby drill and all of that, and coal is back and everything is dandy. Maybe not so much. We're going to talk to Matt Randolph, who does actually own a gas company.
Mm-hmm.
He lives in Oklahoma.
He's been in oil and gas for over 30 years. He is a certified oil and gas expert. Not just a guy who says, I know a lot. It's a process you have to go through to get certified by it's a thing. He knows his stuff, and his YouTube page is going to be linked in the show notes, so you can see all the videos he posts about all the people out there who think they know about gas and oil, and he just...
It's so wonderful.
Politely.
He is very polite.
Sets them straight.
Yeah. In hour number two, right after the 10 o'clock news, I want to talk about Scott Bessent, who is all over the talk shows yesterday. He, of course, is the head of the Treasury,
mm-hmm.
and... He's also just a lowly soybean farmer, Greg. Did you know that?
He's a farm boy.
Just a regular guy. He feels soybean farmers' pain.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah.
Kicking off hour number two, we're going to talk about SNAP benefits coming to an end. I've seen a lot of people on social media over the weekend who are just delighted. Delighted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're
lazy moochers.
Lazy moochers.
Lazy moochers.
Seen some racist and racial language being used
some
in there.
Celebrate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
we'll talk about that after 10 o'clock. Last half an hour of the show, as we always do, we will lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we get away from the news, talk about lighter, sillier things just so we can all breathe for a moment.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about going retro.
For some. What for some seems retro and for others seems like, well,
yesterday.
It's been my house for 30 years.
So things that are back.
Yeah.
Things are back. That were once gone.
I never thought would be coming back. Either.
Seriously. So we'll talk about that after 10:30. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. We're doing a Halloween themed week.
Yeah.
For the Tisbets. Today it is the Itsy Bitsy Spiders edition.
Mm-hmm.
Stay tuned for that. Wanted to start off with this, though. And this broke on Friday, I think. Because we didn't have a chance to talk about it before. Yeah. Elected officials object as FEMA denies Wisconsin flood disaster aid. State and local governments objecting Friday to the Trump administration's decision denying additional disaster help for infrastructure in Door, Grant, Milwaukee, Ozaukee, Washington, and Waukesha counties after the flooding in August. Over 1,800 homes were damaged or destroyed. An estimated $34 million in damage to public infrastructure. Roads and bridges, from David Crawley, Milwaukee County Executive. Roads and bridges that our residents rely on sustained substantial damage. Public buildings and facilities not only washed away, but in some cases with significant mold. Our parks and our trails were damaged for the short term as well as the long term, and the list goes on and on. So we did get some aid from FEMA, but as far as helping with these infrastructure things, FEMA's like, yeah, no.
No.
You don't need it.
No, this is a new avenue for America. Usually when things this was unheard of for southeastern Wisconsin. This kind of rainfall, this kind flooding. Of flood. I in my lifetime have never seen anything this destructive. And in any other time, a year ago, if this would have happened, even in the midst of what was an election, we were days away from an election a year ago, President Biden would have made sure we were covered. President Biden. All presidents before that would make sure that these states were covered. That's just what you do. There's the money there to help. And now we're being denied. Other states are being denied. This is where we live now.
A lot of blue states are being denied.
I think, honestly, I want to look that up, too.
All right, because, double check that.
But it's... This doesn't help anything or anyone. This it's pushed on the narrative of states got to step up.
Well, and that is what Trump said even leading up to the election, that states need to handle more of this themselves.
Yeah.
Stop coming to the federal government for help when there's a natural disaster. That's not our job. That's what they said.
I kind of think that the states put, you know, our tax dollars go into that, and you know it's an investment in a program that doles out money for the places that need it. It's like it's not like you created the money. It's not new money that came out of nowhere. This is money that's paid by the taxpayers, by the states, and it's supposed to be in a pot ready for usage when it's needed. And now you're saying we can't help you. Bunk.
In a letter to Governor Evers, FEMA said while the impact to individuals and households was significant, based on early damage assessments, quote, it has been determined that the public assistance program is not warranted, unquote. Evers responding, denying federal assistance doesn't just delay recovery. It sends a message to our communities. They're on their own. Mm-hmm. The Trump administration doesn't think over $26 million in damages to infrastructure is worthy of their help. I couldn't disagree more.
Wisconsin, Maryland, Vermont, Washington, Michigan, and Arkansas, all states that were denied FEMA money.
Arkansas is the outlier there.
Well, so is Michigan. Michigan and us. We all voted for him.
That's true.
Is that like
Michigan? But he doesn't like Governor Evers.
He doesn't like, and I guess I'm not sure whether he likes Gretchen Whitmer or not. I'm not sure where they fall on the scale, but Wisconsin, Arkansas, Michigan all voted for him, and we got denied. And again, it's this thing of pull yourself up by your bootstraps. The government can't be here to help you every time. Well,
right.
we're not asking for $10 billion. We're asking for a nominal amount of money that works with what has happened and what needs to be done to fix these. And this is the money that we have put in as a state. So I guess you could call it, I mean, please excuse the pun, but literally a rainy day fund. We're not asking for an exorbitant amount of money. This is
$26 million isn't that much.
And I know two people who were denied FEMA funds, period. Like the stuff we did get, they were denied flat out.
Senator Tammy Baldwin said that no community can pick up these pieces alone. Wisconsinites need support so they can rebuild. I hope my Republican colleagues will join me in calling on the Trump administration to step up to the plate and be here for Wisconsin communities left in the lurch. Oh, come on. Wisconsin Republicans would never criticize the Trump administration over anything.
No.
Even if their own constituents are the ones who get hurt.
And I'm sorry, but I'm getting tired of Democratic lawmakers using that line. I'm hoping that our Republicans dot, dot, dot. They're not going to help. They're not going to join. And I hate saying that, but they have no incentive to do so. In fact, they have everything to say, don't do it, because if they do something which smacks of indifference and or criticism of the Trump administration, they're going to be in trouble as well.
They'll pay for it.
And I will say this. $123 million, that's not a lot for the federal government. And we do have $4 billion in surplus money that we could dole out as well. But I'm hold on. I just got a call from Robin Voss. He said, oh, he's laughing.
Oh, is he laughing?
And he hung up on me. Yeah. So actually, Wisconsin could cover it, but we won't because Madison hates spending money on anything, especially its people, unless it's a tax break. Unless it's a tax break or a tax refund. A check in the mail.
That is it. That is it in the Republican playbook, our tax cuts.
Yep.
For rich people.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
MyVote.wi.gov. Call your state representatives right now and tell them. And I don't care if you don't live in the Milwaukee, southeastern Wisconsin area. Tell them that they need to get on board with pushing the administration to fund this
recovery.
Because this has effects on Wisconsin. Because the Northwoods might be the next thing that gets a heavy snowfall. Maybe it
could be rainfall.
Maybe it's Green Bay that gets. I don't know. I'm not saying I want any of those things. But what I'm saying is that when one area suffers, we can all suffer because they will deny it for everyone. And it doesn't matter if your region voted for him because this whole state went for Donald Trump and we still got denied. So call them. MyVote.wi.gov. Look up your representatives. Tell them that we need to get FEMA money because that is what we pay into.
And tell our Republican friends in the House that they should end the government shutdown and bring back Democrats to negotiate over health care, because that's what this shutdown is about.
Mm.
Yeah. It's about health care.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, Representative Kaylin Haywood, a Democrat from Milwaukee, talking about FEMA not giving Wisconsin all the money that it asked for after the August floods. Pointed out that SNAP is on the verge of drying up,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get to that next hour. Communities, meanwhile, left to rebuild infrastructure on their own. It's disappointing. The White House is choosing a $300 million ballroom ego project over the well-being of the people in Wisconsin. Now, granted, the big billionaire ballroom is allegedly being funded through donors.
Well, it was also,
and the price keeps going up. By the way, did you notice that,
Jane? I was going to say the price was originally $200 million.
Now it's up to $300 million.
It's going to be $500 million, if not more. And I will continue saying this from the top of the mountain. And please feel free to use these words as well. As long as the people who are quote unquote donating to the ballroom fund are doing that, those are millionaires, multimillionaires, billionaires. Those are people who enjoy the tax breaks of the wealthy class. They are getting tax money back or not having to pay it. Therefore, in my opinion, I'm paying them because they're getting my money that I put in the system. Therefore, I am paying for this no matter what, because they are utilizing their tax breaks to give big donations. And it's all a slush fund, in my opinion. We're just being turned into one big slush fund for the billionaires in this country.
Pretty much.
And you're paying into it. And guess what? If you voted for Donald Trump, you're still paying for it, too. You're just as on the hook as we are. It doesn't matter the color of your flag. It doesn't matter the region of your country. It matters only one thing. Are you rich enough to get an appointment with him? No, then you don't matter.
And that really is what the fight is.
Yeah.
As much as they would like us to be fighting each other.
Yes. And we are, and they're doing a great job of fostering that.
And we are. No, it's about the ultra wealthy and the rest of us,
mm-hmm.
pretty much. By the way, Carol from Waukesha texting in, listening in WAUK, says, don't forget about the $40 billion for Argentina and nothing for Wisconsin.
Which a month ago was $20
billion. Yeah, now it's $40
billion. And by the way, $300 million for a ballroom, $40 billion but no money for healthcare.
$172 million for Christy Noem's planes.
The statue, the Garden of Heroes.
Oh, the Garden of Heroes.
But absolutely no money for healthcare, no money for SNAP, no money for Medicare, Medicaid, nothing like that. It's all got to be cut because we're going broke, folks.
But the Trump administration has their eye on the important
things. Absolutely.
Trump's ego projects. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. Coming to across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back. Jane,
This is 93.5 The Tap.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We were in the bottom 10 states for creating jobs and for entrepreneurial activity.
Is Representative Tom Tiffany right? Does Wisconsin rank among the bottom 10 states in job creation and entrepreneurship? Yes, although not in every business climate ranking. National Business Capital, a business lender, ranked Wisconsin 42nd for starting a business. Well, Simplify LLC, a publication serving startups, ranked it 43rd. But Wallet Hub and U.S. News ranked Wisconsin's business climate in the mid-30s. And CNBC and a poll of CEOs both ranked it 21st. From 2018 to 2025, Wisconsin added 63,300 jobs, ranking 40th nationally, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrix, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
Civic Media. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. Good morning, live stream.
Hello.
On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, the Todd Albus Show from 2 to 4 p.m. He will kick off the show, recapping the weekend headlines. Talk a little bit about that. We beat our ex-boyfriend.
Only you call him our ex-boyfriend.
Oh, I am not the only one who calls Aaron Rodgers. I am not the only one who calls him our ex-boyfriend.
Okay.
Maybe I am.
Yeah, there you are.
I don't care.
Okay.
Yes, so join Todd. Talk a little bit about our win over Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers. I am also joining Todd now on Mondays.
Nice.
At 2:30. So we'll kick things around and we literally just chat.
That's great.
About stuff.
About
really important things.
Yeah.
So I'll be on with Todd today at 2:30 in the 3 o'clock hour. Another edition of What's Worse. Today they're talking Wisconsin meats.
Okay.
That should be interesting.
All right. I'm going to be listening to that one.
So join Todd this afternoon from 2 to 4 p.m. across our fabulous network. This is from the Wisconsin Examiner. Henry Redmond has the byline. Gableman could be on the hook for $48,000 to cover costs for investigating him. Former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Michael Gableman could be forced to pay over $48,000 to cover the cost of the state Office of Lawyer Regulations investigation into him for his behavior during the search for cheaters in the 2020 presidential election, which brought up Zippo, nothing, zero. Our $2 million investment in Michael Gableman found no proof.
Yeah.
No evidence of voter fraud.
And you don't have to go any further for that information than Robin Voss, who admitted that there was nothing found.
He did.
Yeah, he did. He even admitted that. So, yeah.
So here is my question. Should Michael Gableman pay up $48,000 for these costs? 855-752-4842. Should Michael Gableman pay as part of the review? It resulted in 10 counts of misconduct being filed against Gableman. Late last month, he did agree to have his law license suspended for 3 years because of those charges.
Yeah. That's a huge feat, too. Getting a law license suspended takes a lot more work than people think.
It does.
It does. It takes a lot of work. And honestly, Jane, I'm going to open up my Civic Media app right now. I'm going to call the show and tell you what I think. Oh, yeah, he should have to pay up. Period. And done. Get the Civic Media app. It's free.
855-752-4842. Should Michael Gableman, who spent $2 million worth of our money looking for fraud in the 2020 election, none of which was found, should he have to pay $48,000? 855-752-4842. I would agree with your call there, Greg Bach.
Yeah.
Yes, I think he should have to pay for it.
I think that, honestly, well, no, I don't think he should have to. Robin Voss put forth the money. I just feel like $2 million
of our money
wasted on this. And also employing the services of a man who is wildly underqualified to investigate this in the first place. Let's just start there. But also the fact that nothing was found and we're still $2 million on the hook for it. And then on, he should be paying this entire thing.
Yeah.
Michael Gableman should be paying that $48,000.
Yes.
And it's funny to me that he's still, how many years? 3-4 years after the fact, still in the headlines.
Yeah.
On this.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
And I'm sure Michael Gableman and even Robin Voss would love for us never to talk about this again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's got to be kind of embarrassing.
Well, I don't think.
Well, that's wrong.
No, Robin Voss doesn't feel embarrassment or shame.
Yeah, there's none of that.
If you bring it up, he will simply just divert the topic to something else and blame Democrats. That's what they do now. Anytime you try to hold Republicans
responsible
or show accountability, it's always how it's somebody else. It's not even Democrats sometimes. It's just always someone else's fault. And that's one of the things that really infuriates me, because I was always raised to believe that Republicans were the party of personal responsibility.
Yeah, that kind of went away 10 years ago.
And that is laughably gone now.
855-752-4842. Richard, you get the last word before we go to the bottom of the hour news. What do you want to say real quickly, please?
I think he should be punished more, because this is a manufactured thing he did.
Yeah.
He should have known way better with his experience and time in law. It's really outrageous.
Appreciate it, Richard. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I agree. I think he should have to pay up.
Yeah, absolutely. And Jack from Merrimack, a listening WEK, says, but it's much more important to give trillions in tax welfare to, quote, job creators and hundreds of millions to Trump himself because the DOJ actually showed criminality, or a few hundred million to the Imperial Epstein ballroom. Needs the gold trim, or a billion to make Argentina great. I mean, yeah, it's this is all, but like all the way, any way they can get money. I mean, $2 million, does it take $2 million to make that kind of investigation? I don't want to throw conspiracies, and I'm not trying to right here, but where did all that $2 million go?
Well, and I think there's a whole bunch of stuff within there that I would love to know more details about. Some of the things that were coming out while that investigation was going on. I mean, they didn't even keep ledgers.
Mm-hmm.
The Gableman investigation, it was a mess.
No, they don't.
It was a mess.
Because they are, once again, wildly underqualified to do any of these things. You want another piece of proof? Look at who is trying to prosecute Letitia James in D.C., a woman who has never, ever been in court.
DEI hire. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to attend one of the various educational events this week honoring International Bat Week. According to a press release, four of the eight species of bat found in Wisconsin are considered threatened, but officials say conservation efforts over the past decade have helped the state's native bat populations begin to rebound. Event locations and tips for helping the bat population from home, like building your own bat house or using native plants in your yard, are available on the DNR website. A bipartisan group of state lawmakers have introduced legislation aimed at expanding access to information on menopause. The bill would require the Wisconsin Department of Health Services to create an online resource page and pamphlet about menopause. According to a National Institutes of Health study, over 75% of women across the country believe menopause education should be taught in schools, similarly to education on puberty. Actress Halle Berry also spoke in support of the bill as part of a nationwide tour to promote menopause education. The Rice Lake Area School District is inviting residents to participate in their local Empty Bowls event this week. The eighth iteration of the annual event will be held on Thursday at the Rice Lake High School cafeteria from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. The funding raised at the event will go towards the district's Feed Our Kids backpack program, which provides students with non-perishable and easy-to-make foods to take home over the weekend to combat hunger and guarantee kids are having their nutritional needs met when they don't have access to school meals. Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to expand funding for veterans programs. According to a press release, the Veterans Promise Package seeks to invest in veterans' mental health programs, increase funding for the UW Missing in Action Recovery Project, and make Veterans Day a state holiday. State Representative Jody Emerson was among the Democratic lawmakers introducing the bill package on Thursday, saying Wisconsin's veterans deserve better than political games and calling for bipartisan support for the legislation. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Halloween creeps ever closer, and all the streaming platforms are well aware you might be in search of some good jump scares. Last week, TheWrap.com gave us some scary movies on HBO, and now they're sharing some Hulu offerings, which include The Fly, starring Jeff Goldblum. This 1986 film pulled a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes and is positively disgusting and wonderful. If you want to be scared and laugh a bit, check out Scream. And for those of you who are true masochists, there is the positively disgusting Saw for your streaming Halloween pleasure. I think we are officially out of ideas to watch based on what is gaining traction right now in people's living rooms. The 2010 action comedy The A-Team is finding new eyes after its Netflix release. The film was based on the 1980s TV show with George Peppard and Mr. T. The cast is led by Liam Neeson, who shares the screen with Bradley Cooper, Jessica Biel, and Rampage Jackson. He'll never be Mr. T. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Eau Claire City Hall to Madison, stay informed with Civic Media's Radio Network's news team.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high in the upper 50s to near 60 this afternoon. Tonight, scattered rain, especially after midnight, are low in the low 40s. Tomorrow, rain likely with a high in the upper 40s to low 50s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 42.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
A very funny stand-up comic, Mr. Mike Toomey. The last time I saw a Goldie Hawn film in the theater, the male lead was giving her a foot massage, and it was the worst foot I've ever seen. I actually said out loud, I went, ew. And my aunt started cracking up.
Yeah, maybe they could have had a stand-in, like a stunt foot.
Please. Something. Even if it's a guy's foot, I don't care.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll look back at the weekend sports and news headlines. Also be joined by our friend and colleague, Jane Matinair of Matinair on Air. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He is an oil and gas industry expert, which is something you have to earn. It is Mondays with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph is here. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
We're good, Matt. Good to see you. Thanks for joining us. Let's start off the top with gas prices. Gas prices, according to the president, are down. Everything is down. Gas prices are down. Life is good, Matt. I filled up yesterday. They're not down.
I know, right?
Right? I mean, yeah. I did research yesterday. I went to the gas station yesterday and I filled up and I paid cash and it was still.
What's cash?
It was still like 30 cents higher than it was last week.
Yeah.
Now, I know there was a fire at a refinery in Indiana, correct?
Yes.
And so that is having an impact, probably especially here in the Midwest.
Definitely the upper Midwest, yeah. But, you know, gas prices are not really lower anywhere else in the country either. They're about the same as they were last year this time.
Yeah.
I believe they're $3.05 or $6 a gallon today on a national average from AAA. That's who I use. And if you would have asked me a year ago, you know, what are gas prices going to be in a year? I would have told you $3.05, $3.06 right now. Like, you know, it's everything that's happening has been predicted by all of us before the election, regardless of who the president was. So,
well, and it's important to remind folks as well, because I want to say maybe a month ago, month and a half ago, prices did start coming down, but that happens every year. Right. As we get away from the summer blend, we get away from the summer blend and we go back to regular gas blend.
Yeah, we swapped over to winter blend and, you know, prices fall as they do every year. That's why people think, you know, prices fall right before an election.
Right. But it's not
because right every time there's an election, we swap to winter blend literally 45, 60 days before. And everyone thinks that elections are rigged with gas prices. But it's like
they are completely unrelated. There is no relation whatsoever. Prices tend to go up in spring as we switch over to that spring blend. And then they tend to come down in fall as we go back to the regular blend. This has happened year after year after year after year, and people still use that as the indicator of where the economy is, and it's just not a good bellwether.
Right. No, it's not. So, yeah.
Well, the president promised us, Matt, that when he got into office, we were going to drill, baby, drill, and everything was going to be dandy. We have a cut from Doug Burgum, the Secretary of the Interior. Calvin, can we play that clip from Mr. Burgum, please, on Fox?
Critical minerals. China today controls 85 to 100% of all the refining on the 20 most important rare earth minerals that are essential for defense, essential for automotive, essential for high tech in our country. They have a stranglehold on that marketplace. We have to break it. President Trump knows that, and we have to get back to mining in our country. It's not just drill baby drill. It's mine baby mine with President Trump and critical minerals.
I mean, he is definitely mine baby mine because it's all his.
Yeah, but, pretty much. How is that going, Matt? From your vantage point,
drill baby drill
and mine baby mine.
Oh, neither are really going anywhere.
What happened to drill? What happened to drill baby drill? Prices were to be down. Energy prices were to be down by 50%.
Yeah, well, you know, shockingly, companies don't produce when prices are low. You know, it's a big surprise to everyone, but it's true. It's absolutely true.
Well, we've talked about this many times before that when oil per barrel starts to fall and it gets to around $60 a barrel, that's when oil producers stop making money. So they are less inclined to invest more money to do more drilling when they're not making money, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, he went to OPEC and got his oil there. And, you know, typical Donald Trump stuff. So,
yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Matt Randolph, who is also known as Mr. Global. You can find him on YouTube, where you put out so many videos now. I follow
lots
you.
Lots of
I,
content.
You are always in my feed, and I'll have that link in the show notes for today. I mean, the question I have for you, I mean, Jane, you asked it perfectly, is that, like, you know, people want, they want gas to be cheap. Therefore, they want, if they see oil barrels of oil prices going down, they think, oh, that's wonderful. But that isn't good for our economy. It's not good for those companies. It's not good for us, period. So to see gas that's like $1.99 or less, that doesn't do the long-term good that we believe, because we're always told cheaper is better. And when politicians say we're going to lower the gas prices, which none of them can do, nobody knows actually the knock-on effect. Can you, Matt, can you talk about that? Like, you just said that when the barrel prices go down, they're less inclined to produce. But what then has, well, how does that affect us as consumers then too?
Well, you know, saving 10 cents a gallon on gas seems like a really great thing for a lot of people. I don't know why. It's like $1.50 on a fill up. But what you are spending, what you're really spending is, you know, so far under this administration, we've lost somewhere around 25,000 oil and gas jobs. And all of those, keep in mind, all of those are like six-figure jobs.
These are
really high-paying jobs that don't require college educations, right? So this is access to blue-collar, middle-class workers to make really good money. You know, it's one of the few places left where someone without a college degree can come in and you know, blue-collar job and make a really good living for their family. And, you know, we're losing those jobs left and right. It hurts manufacturing. It hurts the steel industry. And it's a big hit to our tax revenue in the United States. So it's a massive ripple effect. You know, for every oil and gas job created in the United States, I don't remember the exact number, don't quote me on this, but I think it's like 2.8 other jobs are created, you know, as ancillary jobs.
Sure.
So it is huge. And for me, I just don't think it's worth that $1.50 a tank.
Yeah.
That people get so excited about, especially when you're spending, you know, an extra $1,000 a month on the other things you need to live, like food and electricity.
Well, and let's talk a little bit about electricity, because that was the other big promise. Well, among the many promises that Donald Trump made, that electricity prices were going to be down 50% and it's going to be great. And that is not what's happening around the country either. People's electric bills are not going down.
Now, you know, I told people a couple of years ago that pretty soon their electric bills will be as high as their mortgage payments. And they told me I was crazy, but we started seeing that a lot this summer. I think we're going to see it. And of course, a lot of it's weather related. If we have a winter this year, like we had last year, if we have a cold winter, we're going to see it a lot more this winter. And, you know, electricity prices are going through the roof due to, you know, grid capacity. And we have an administration that wants to pick your source of power for you instead of just understanding that we just need electricity regardless of where it's sourced. We just need more of it. But you know, it's not, electricity prices have been coming up for a long time, and everything the Trump administration is doing is only going to make that significantly worse.
Well, and he's trying to sell killing off, you know, windmills and solar arrays and stuff like that. He's trying to sell that as a way to bring down our energy prices, when actually it's doing the opposite. As you said, you're in the oil and gas industry, but you have always been open to all forms of electricity generation.
Well, yeah, the oil and gas industry is the energy industry. And that's all kinds of energy, whether it's, you know, oil and gas, fossil fuels, nuclear, renewable, it doesn't matter. If you're passionate about working in the oil and gas industry because you're providing energy for people, then you should be passionate about energy in general, no matter what kind it is. That's the way I look at it. But obviously that's not true. with everybody. But yeah, he's going to make things significantly worse by destroying renewable projects and expanding our LNG export capacity by as much as possible. Those two things are going to be the third and fourth whammy, I would say, for electricity prices for Americans.
Well, and you were talking about the grid and problems with the grid, and this is something that we've talked about in Wisconsin because there are several data centers now which want to come here. One was rejected in one community. One was accepted in a different community. But those two are going to be – those are massive energy sucks, those data centers. Massive.
Yeah, a typical data center uses as much power as 80,000 homes. And, you know, as with everything else that we build in this country, as time goes by, we build it bigger and bigger and bigger. And that means in 5 years from now, a data center will probably use as much power as 250,000 homes. That's how it is in this country. You know, it's always bigger and bigger. And in addition to that, you know, there's never been a good plan or policy to really improve and expand and upgrade the grid. The Biden administration tried with the Infrastructure Act, and I think the problem there was the grid is the least profitable thing. It takes the most investment, and it's the longest return on investment. So when you're focusing on the grid, you have to have a different plan than everything else, right? You can give the subsidies and tax credits for renewable energy, but you have to go a different route with the grid. You have to be much more aggressive. You have to push a lot harder because people, if they can choose five different things to put their money in, it's not going to be the grid.
Yeah.
It's never going to be the grid, right? And so that was sort of a failure there, not recognizing how hard it is to get people to invest in the grid. And Donald Trump is doing nothing. Like, he's completely reversed what the Biden administration was doing, which was helping a little bit, but not enough.
If you're just joining us, Matt Randolph is here, otherwise known as Mr. Global on Matt Nair on Air. Jack from Merrimack has been waiting very patiently. Jack, we'll take you right now before we go to the break. What did you want to say? Boy, Jack, you're going to have to call back. Real bad line.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Sorry about that, Jack. If you want to try again, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC.
And one of the things I want to ask you when we come back from the other side is those jobs you were just talking about, all of those, is something that even the Republicans aren't saying, because I could see them pushing a narrative, we're losing all these jobs because the Democrats are because of this, that, and that thing. But nobody is talking about these blue collar jobs, these good paying jobs. And I would like to know more about that, because that seems like that could definitely be a talking point from both sides of the aisle. But we're not discussing that at all while we're seeing tens of thousands of people losing their jobs. We'll talk about that when we come back.
We're talking to Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hungry for a home-cooked meal that hits the spot? Come on down to Chickadee's Family Restaurant, your cozy local veteran-owned diner serving up smiles 7 days a week from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. We're talking breakfast all day, hearty made-from-scratch soups, and their famous homemade, never-frozen hash browns. Craving lunch? Dive into delicious burgers, stacked sandwiches, and deep-fried chicken gizzards just like Mom used to make. Chickadee's, family-owned, always friendly, always fresh. Drop in and taste the charm.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach. Sweet Calvi on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Mr. Global Matt Randolph is here, oil and gas industry expert, talking about all things energy. Jack from Merrimack did call back in, and he's been very patient. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say?
Good morning. Well, first of all, I'm helping with the electric grid. I just put solar panels on my house, so that'll help somewhat anyway.
Good for you. But,
now I hope Mr. Randolph will forgive me for this, but there is a way to stabilize or at least reduce the cost of electric production, in my opinion, and that's to only allow American-produced electric production for new electric plants. In other words, just only approve renewable sources, solar panels, wind farms, hydropower. That energy is not going to be shipped out of the country because it's really hard to take a solar array and use it for somebody else's electric production. And it's not dependent on international markets. It's not dependent on the whims of guys like Ben Salman and Putin who want to, you know, jack up the prices of petroleum products. And that should at least keep the prices from going fluctuating as wildly as they have been.
Appreciate it, Jack. Thank you so much. Mr. Global, what do you think about that?
Well, he's not wrong. If we only, and so here's the thing. We can dispatch and build and generate renewable electricity faster than any other kind. We can add 80, 90 gigawatts of electricity a year in the United States with just renewable energy. We can't do that with anything else. So it's very fast. The one issue is when you add renewable energy, you have to upgrade the grid a little bit because it's a different type of flow of electricity. It is intermittent. That doesn't mean it can't be used. It just means you have to make changes to your grid a little bit to handle that. But he's not wrong. Like, he's really not wrong at all. It's just not a thing I think will happen.
Well, right.
Certainly anytime not in now. The near future.
Yeah, certainly not now.
And that may not apply everywhere in the country. You know, there's probably places where some other type of energy would work better. But he's not missing the mark on that. It's simply something that's not going to happen. You know, we don't always do what's best.
No, we don't. I know, that's shocking. Yes, that's shocking.
You always say the funniest things,
we only
Matt.
Have a couple of minutes left, and I really want to get to it. This is from Wyoming Public Radio. Congress gave a break to coal producers. Now Wyoming is concerned it's going to carry the loss. So the Trump administration gave a break to the coal industry, but what they did was lower fees for mining on public lands. That money helps fund things in Wyoming. So they've lowered the fees for these mining companies, but now the state is struggling to pay infrastructure and all that stuff because they depended on those fees. That's not working out so well, is it?
Not only is it not working out, I don't know if you know about this, but in Montana and the Powder River Basin, the BLM just tried. Oh, I lost my camera.
There we go.
The BLM just had a lease sale for coal, right? They got one bid, $186,000 bid for 167 million tons of coal. So to put that in perspective, the Navajo Energy Authority bid less than a penny per ton of coal. That is over 100 times less than the last lease sale they had. Basically, coal companies aren't willing to pay anything for more coal on public land, even with these new incentives that the government has put out. I thought that was a fascinating story when I read that.
Why are they, and is it just because they don't feel it's worth the investment?
Well, they have an enormous amount of coal, probably more coal than they're going to need to get them to the end of coal. Coal is plentiful in the United States, and they're just not willing to spend any money on more coal because they see the end of coal coming. But this, look, I would pay $186,000 for 167 million tons of coal. I would do that every day.
Seems like a pretty good deal.
Like a half a penny a ton or whatever that works out to is, but it really shows you even how coal companies are viewing coal themselves. They're not willing to buy more coal, even with the new incentives from the federal government. So it's anything the federal government is any incentives they're giving these companies is there's absolutely no return on investment.
Right.
And like you said, it's going to cost these states a fortune.
As they are finding out in Wyoming that, we're struggling now. It's they got all of these millions of dollars from these coal companies leasing on public lands, and now they don't have to pay that anymore. And now they're struggling with money. It's called, consequences and looking long term down the road. And what could happen if I do A and then B might happen and then C might happen and then D might happen.
Well, and they're also in a place now where their state legislature and their governor and no one can criticize the Trump administration, because if they do, they'll get in trouble and probably have things cut from their budget, aid withheld. There are consequences there. But
follow him on YouTube, Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. Thank you so very much for your time. It's always a pleasure, Matt. Really appreciate it. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. A monster Hurricane Melissa is set to slam into Jamaica tomorrow. Correspondent Jason Allen is there.
This morning, the wind is really starting to gust in Kingston. The rain is blowing in sideways. The heaviest of the rain still hasn't hit yet, but we expect that over the next few hours.
Up to 40 inches could bring catastrophic flooding and landslides. SNAP food benefits on track to become the next casualty of the 27-day-old government shutdown. House Speaker Mike Johnson still pinning the blame squarely on Democrats.
They have now voted 12 times to keep the government closed, and they'll have another chance today or tomorrow, maybe multiple times this week.
An American warship has docked in Trinidad and Tobago. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
Venezuela has called the move a hostile provocation. This after the U.S. has struck multiple alleged drug trafficking boats in recent weeks, killing more than 40 people.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.